Well, education, just get on board.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Sponsored by the TBI, Survivors Network at tbisn.com.
The only survivor and family network in the world. Two shows daily at 5 and 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern.
Found on braininjuryradio.org.
And now it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Well, hello, everybody, and happy Saturday night. I almost said happy hump night. I'm so used to my own show, and when I said that the name of the show tonight was Operation Overload, I'm feeling it, so I didn't even know what day it was. This is Kim Justice, your regular I'm your regular Wednesday night host who often subs on Saturday night. And so tonight I'm going to give you guys the mic. I'm going to be playing some indie music, talking a little bit about letting go and overload, and then anything that you guys want to talk about tonight, I'll be very excited to hear. Some of you probably know that things have been pretty chaotic around our place. We've been packing up, getting ready to move, showing our house, trying to pack things up, the old sort, donate, toss, sell, all of those things, and trying to get things ready for the new house that we're going to be moving into. We'll be closing on Tuesday, and got workmen that are going to be there for a couple weeks, and then we'll be moving. So all kinds of packing and activity, picking out new materials for the new place that the workmen are going to be using, and trying to clean up the old place. In the meantime, many of you know that my dear Nana, who has been on her deathbed now for a while, could have days, could have weeks, I'm happy to say, made it on May 8th to her 94th birthday. So that's really incredible. We have a lot of gratitude for that. And so I've been spending a lot of time with her over the last year and in the middle of all of that, doing all of this house stuff. And so I noticed that any kind of residual that I have is really exacerbated when I'm exhausted or totally overwhelmed. And I'm sure none of you can relate to that at all. if we have a bad memory or emotion regulation problems, tolerance, control, all of those kind of things. Boy, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or have a full basket from just too many things or too many new things, it can get very difficult and tenuous. You know, I've been kind of trying to just warn people around me that I care about that it's probably a good idea to keep a distance at the moment, because I'm just really, really tired. But I didn't want there to be an open slot here tonight, because I believe strongly in peer support. And I say tongue in cheek all the time on my own show that it took me 17 years writing a book and becoming a radio host to meet my first brain injury survivors, and no one should have to go that long. And so good. I have a courier pigeon. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
There you go. I do have a husband. I don't lie about the fact that he's in bed all the time. That was Gary, everybody. Nice to meet him. I always talk to you about him, but he's always in bed. We're kind of opposite in our time schedule, which works out good for us, you know, to have our alone time and together time. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Good God, with the roosters, that would just kill me. And I'm the night owl. And so normally he's in bed at 8 or 8:30, but it's Saturday night, and he really kicked up his heels and stayed up until 9 o'clock. So he's getting ready to toddle his way off to bed right now. And I had gotten a message from Lori Fatel, who has a show on prior to my Wednesday night show, I believe the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. And I could be wrong on that, too. You guys are going to have to take most everything I say tonight with a grain of salt. That's why I hope you guys will call in tonight and talk about what's on your mind, because I'm going to be playing music. I'll be talking about, you know, a couple of subjects right now, a few subjects. And, the number, and I'll type it into the chat room, is, See, I can't even get that going tonight. 424-243-9540. And let's see, I got some other numbers too, some other new numbers. Let me see if I can find those. I got a toll-free number in the U.S. and also a toll-free number outside of the U.S. And here those are. Again, that first number, 424-243-9540, or toll-free 855-473-3711 in the U.S., or outside the U.S., you can call free on 202-559-7907. Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and all of the live shows are immediately archived for free on-demand listening. And again, going back to what I was saying before about going through your recovery alone, that is a pretty rough, isolated place to be. And so it's good that you can not only call in and listen to the live shows 7 nights a week on Brain Injury Radio, but 24/7 you're able to go into the archive, which now Brain Injury Radio has been on for 4 years. There are hundreds of shows. You can hear all kinds of different hosts that all have a different way of doing their shows, and as well as all kinds of different topics that you can listen to. And so you never have to be completely alone or think that you're, sorry, I'm fishing around here for something I can't find, or being terminally unique, because you will know there's other survivors out there. And you know, that was one of the problems that I had. I really felt like I was terminally unique. All the things that I felt, I looked normal and I talked normal and I could walk, and it was just kind of a bizarre deal that after I had my ruptured brain aneurysm in 1995 and started to look like my old self, there was an expectation from people around me that I would be my old self. And frankly, that expectation came from me as well. I'm going to see. I've got somebody on the line, and maybe I muted my mic and you guys aren't even hearing me, but I think you are. Steven, you guys hearing me out there? Because I will pick up the line in just a minute. I was just going to finish my comment, but I want to make sure that I'm not on mute or something. Which would be very like me. Les Paul, do you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay, thanks. I guess I got a little picture so you guys can hear me. Anyway, great. Thank you so much, you guys. As I was saying, it's just been a really heck of a time. And so with all of this house business, I'll be really glad when it's over. But the good news is, you know, we bought the new house. We're going to be closing next Tuesday, but we won't be moving until the 6th. So I'll be running over there a lot, supervising a lot of different remodelers. And in the meantime, trying to pack up this place. But the good news is I just put the sign out for sale by owner in my yard last Sunday, and I took a contract on our house today. And so the lady actually came through on Monday for the first time and has been communicating with me all week. And so it's been real super hectic because not only have we been trying to, you know, clear the house up to make it show nicely and kind of try to get ready to move, but then all of a sudden, you know, you're making a mess when you're sorting things out and tossing things out and trying to get ready. But then at the same time, you got to make your house look nice to show it. And so I put myself in a real bind, which is something with the brain, you know, a person with a brain injury shouldn't walk into a fire, you know, and just make the situation worse. But, you know, it made me a little nervous to think about having two mortgages for any length of time. And so I did put the sign out in the yard and have had a lot of showings this week. But as it turned out, sold it to the first person who came on Monday. And I was out getting a contract tonight. And as a matter of fact, didn't think I'd be doing this show tonight. I really didn't plan on it. I got home less than an hour ago, so I just put it on the board. I booked it for 2 hours because I wasn't sure anybody was even going to know that I was, that we had a show on tonight, although y'all should. We're normally 7 nights a week, but I absolutely had no clue of what I would talk about tonight. So I figured I'd just be playing music and I wouldn't need to do it for longer than 2 hours. And we wouldn't be leaving you with an empty slot or out to hang if there's something on your mind tonight that you want to talk about. So I'm just very happy to be here tonight and grateful for this group and asking you to cross your fingers that when the inspection is done next week, nothing comes up to queer the deal with the person I sold our house to, so that, well, you know, obviously so that I'll feel a lot better about the fact that we won't be having two mortgages, I guess, and as we're getting all of this remodeling done. But anyway, I'm going to unmute the line for a moment, and I'm sorry, somebody's sending me texts and I can't even function. It has been the weirdest thing all week long that I've forgotten everything. The old saying, I'd forget my head if it wasn't screwed on, has been so true. I've been forgetting things, misstating things, just been so exhausted, and I haven't had a chance to really lay down very much, but I've crashed at some very odd times. Oh, there's Sophie saying hello. If you can hear the barking in the background, she's a yapper. Yep, total. Yes, Sophie, we hear you out there. Usually it's Libby. In any case, I'm going to unmute the line and see who is calling me here. Thank you, wait. Say hello again. There's more people. For those of you who haven't heard my husband and thought I was making him up, there he is again, saying hello. He's going to bed, but, you know, when he said, why don't you just run a tape tonight? And I was inclined to agree with him because I am exhausted, stiff, sore, and did I say exhausted? And I was going to do that, but I just decided that, you know, we hosts are the keeper of the keys to the support group room here at Brain Injury Radio. And so I wanted to show up in the event that there's somebody out there who needs to talk or wants a place to be. And even if it is just hanging out with music and your friends or calling and talking about what's on your mind, we got a place to be for a while on Saturday night. So I'm going to unmute the mic on area code 813. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Kim.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty...
It's Steve.
Steven, how are
yeah.
you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Hanging in there.
Thank you so much for calling. I'm really excited about what's been going on with you, and I don't want to put you on the spot or in an awkward position or anything.
Not a problem. I'm going through a lot, but I'm standing up and holding my own. I've been a survivor and been a stand-up person at that also, and finding out so much more about me and what I've been through, and been pushed to the side so much, but now I'm actually with some real people that are helping me now and bringing to my knowledge and understanding that what I went through was a moderate traumatic brain injury from the helicopter crash due to I split the flight helmet in half and went unconscious. I then had broken also the bone, my nose bone, close to the brain. That's why I was leaking the brain fluid through my nose and down my throat. And I also went without any form of care whatsoever, and went to the hospital, the Naval Hospital in San Diego, Balboa Hospital, and sent right back to the barracks, and nothing. Then they drew a line through concussion and wrote down flu syndrome.
Oh my gosh.
With them telling me all this... that there was nothing wrong, and I'm telling them that I have pressure, I feel like my head is going to explode, and the vertigo and all the characteristics of what a person is going through of a traumatic brain injury. And they was just destroying me. And that was the easy part of it. The other part was telling me that they were going to kill me if I said anything about the people that were persecuting me and abusing me. But and then the military sexual trauma they put me through because of how they were. And because I was not I was not capable of taking care of myself. But
sure.
I was able to stand tall every time they beat me down. I stood up. I got through it. I got out. But it's sad that to see how they assaulted me a second time and tore up my right ear and charged me with fighting for something I didn't do. I followed orders, but, you know.
My God.
And then I still got up and took it. But I got out and I just drifted. And then I still stood up and helped others regardless, and I cared because I believe that's because the way I was taught by my mother and my aunt and the nuns in the Catholic school I went to and how I was raised. And it was sad, but they stripped me of all my beliefs, all my goals, all my dreams. And as far as relationships, it has been a long road for me. I basically just have done everything I thought I was supposed to do as a man and stand up and take care of my responsibilities. But now I am getting a divorce and moving on. And I have met someone, and that someone is basically just like me. And in time, I'm hoping that we both will get together and meet and become a wonderful couple and enjoy life together and share and do good for others also. At this time in my life, I am actually out there helping others of the Iraq-Afghanistan war, motivating them and showing them that you can and never to give up, no matter what people do to you. I'm out there helping in two different veterans organizations. I'm an officer in both. I'm an officer in both of them. One a vice president, the other a chaplain and a master at arms.
And, really?
Yes, yes. They have people have attached themselves to me in a way that they like the way I am with people. I help with bingo at one, and the people I treat them, I treat the elderly as if, because most of them are females, I treat them as if they're my mothers, and I get them their coffee, I humor them, I make them feel comfortable. And when I'm not there, they always ask, where is Stephen? And they hug me. Very kind to me. And they said, you're the best, nicest veteran we've ever had here helping us. But I just make it a point to treat them as if they're my mother. And because that day that they're there is their day, you know. And then I have other jobs, other things. With the Kiwanis Club, I'm helping the children of the world in the community. And then with the Knights of Columbus, I'm up there helping, serving, you know, because I have a lot to pay back. Because it was Christmas Day that I crashed on the hilltop, and I had that spiritual out-of-body thing where I know Jesus had me out of the helicopter holding me. Because I laid dead there for a while. I mean, it was awful. And we had to wait 12 hours before they come and rescue us. And we were only 10 miles away from the base.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was sad because, you know, they knew. They knew, but yet they did nothing. And then after that, the torment and the torture began. I felt more like I was a prisoner of war while serving here in the United States of America, then I felt I would have been better off if I served overseas and would have been captured. But, you know, it affected me what they did to me, but, you know, I have put a lot to the side, and I still serve and help others because it's from my heart, not from my brain. And by helping others, I've learned to help myself. Right now, I'm helping a Gold Star mother build up what she's doing because she's helping those who have lost their loved ones by grieving and just doing what I can to help others. And that's my goal. It doesn't have anything to do with me gaining anything, but it means that I'm helping someone. It's helping me feel good.
Exactly.
And finding someone that will be there for me, understand me, and I understand them, and that is what I'm looking for. And I feel I have found that one. It's just a matter of time, you know. And that one I've been talking to you about, and I feel that's going to happen. And I pray, you know, and I have my faith and hope. And I'm doing my best, and I got a place today where I'll be moving. And
really?
Yes, everything. See, that's to show you that I hang out with some really nice people, and they're looking out for me now because I stopped and listened to my friend that I met, and the same person I've told you about, and instead of standing up with my pride, I turn around and I start asking, like she told me to. And these people have now turned around and they're starting to help me by me asking. Because I helped them so much, I guess I needed to ask them also for help. And they have a place for me. And I have so much things available for me also, and it's going to be beautiful. Just waiting for her to come down, and it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, I'm so excited for you after all you've been through. And you know, I want to ask you a couple questions, though.
Sure.
With all of the things you've been through, first of all, you know, and you helping your fellow veterans now, it's probably easy because you're kindred spirits in the way that you were both in service to your country.
My doctor says, she says she can't believe that after all I've been through, I never gave up. This is my new doctor that I have. She says, after all you've been through, you still turn around and you help others rise. You still help others no matter what. And you have them doing things to help themselves rather than just you don't stop. You just keep going. And she called me the king of volunteer. I said, it's the way to do something. You can't sit at home and watch the four walls. You have to get out there, and that's how you find people to, they'll ask you for if you want a job, or they want you to come and help me with this and help me with that. Because if you stay at home, no one's going to ask you for anything. They're not going to knock on your door and tell you, we need you for this or we need you for that. But by going out there, you get to meet different people and do different things. And one day you're going to find the right thing that you like, and the right people will ask you. You know, and it's just a matter, and that will help you with your anxiety. It'll help you with your stress. And then I'm also doing yoga. I had a fear of doing it because I was afraid if I wasn't going to do it right. I was afraid if I wouldn't, just afraid of not doing it right and not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke the ice and I started doing it, and it has changed me a lot. And I stopped taking all that stupid medication for pain, and by doing the yoga, I can breathe better. I feel more energized. The muscles, I'm using the muscles that I'm gaining the strength from to help me with the pain. And it has made a big improvement. And I talk about it. I sell it. I sell yoga to people, and then they're shaking their head. They said, you're right. You're right. And I'm hoping that, you know, they said, oh, but that's for, no, it's for everyone. I tell them that when I'm done, you actually feel like somebody just put some brand new blood inside of you, and it's energizing you. And that's how it is, because you open up your muscles, you open up your system, and it's flowing. And you feel beautiful, and you don't have to lift any weights.
No.
You don't have to do anything strenuous. It's just you and your body. And you actually have that freedom of your mind for the time that you're doing it. So you're free from stress and everything.
Right.
It's up to
and
you.
It's not competitive. When you were I felt the same way when I started.
Right.
You know, I was afraid I wouldn't do it right and all that business. But yoga is one of those things where everyone works at their own pace.
It's
competitive.
It's all about you. It's
all
about you and what you can do, how you can do it. And you're not there tying yourself up into any twist knots or anything like that.
No, not until later anyway.
people ask me, are you twisting yourself and tying yourself up? I said, no. It's just certain things that you do to stretch certain parts of your body to make it better. That's all, you know, and it makes a difference.
And breathe, breathing.
Breathing better. And stop drinking diet sodas.
Good
and
for
I'm
you.
To intake better foods in mind, body, and soul. And believe it or not, it works.
That is just wonderful. Stephen, I'm so glad you called in tonight because you've carried so many important messages. And one of them is that no matter what we've been through, no matter how far down the scale we've slid in our life, that if we have faith and hope and take that positive action and keep getting up like you were talking about and moving forward. Yes, keep standing up, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not always a train. And if you keep getting up and experimenting with things, what goes around comes around. Yeah, good things will come around back to you. And I'm really happy to hear, you know, about the yoga, because everybody says that exercise is good. And some of us cringe when we think of doing something real strenuous. But I've done yoga, too. It's very relaxing. You stretch out your tight muscles.
Focus
on your breath. And I don't know if you were like me. I know a lot of people out there are that we don't even realize it, but it's such a fast-paced society, and then we exacerbate it by putting too many things on the to-do list, that half of us walk around holding our breath three-quarters of the time.
We have a lot of obstacles, and we put little obstacles bigger than the bigger obstacles, and make things harder for ourselves. And
our own worst enemy.
Yes, we are. But once we get through some of these obstacles, it's like, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. And then I'm also out there, you know, I'm giving awards to the junior ROTC when they're at the end of the year, right before they graduate. And
awesome.
That is awesome. Oh, I'm out there doing that, you know, and it is like awesome to do. Makes you feel good. It makes them feel good because I'm dressed up nice, and they are just and they're doing great, you know. And I stay for the whole ceremony, and I'm having a good time doing that. And I'm the vice president of my chapter. I enjoy doing that for them.
That
and then
is
I go
so
to do the
awesome.
Terrific Kids Award to help the kids that barely ever make it in school, and that also gives them a chance to build. You know, they barely make the awards in school, so we go as the Kiwanis and give them an award. And next time you know, they're getting their actual awards in school. So I'm out there doing all kinds of stuff that makes people feel better about themselves, and it helps
me
too.
Very cool. Oh, yeah, you got to give it away to keep it.
Yeah, but for us, you know, I noticed for us with brain injury, it took me 36 years to find out that I had one, even though I felt strange since I was 18 when I got my first one. And relationships, it is difficult when people pick up on you and say, wow, what's wrong with him? But God, they find something off-key. And but to have someone that you can relate to and that relates to you and that you can just feel wonderful with is like holy mackerels. And then you both feel so much the same, and all of a sudden you just both let go and fall in love with each other. It's like, holy mackerels. It's beautiful. I've never felt this way in all my life, and it happened. And
I'm so happy for you.
I'm letting it go, and I'm hoping my hope and dreams will, this is going to be it. And looking forward to it.
Well, we've got the fingers crossed for you. I'm so happy. You know, I've known you for a while. I think since
we go back.
I first came on. Yeah, since I first came on the show, and I've really appreciated your friendship. But
I
heard you in the beginning, and it's just a world of difference.
I was
in your spirit.
In a way because, They had the doctor had written a consult for me to have gone to the TBI clinic, and it took 13 years before the paperwork surfaced, and it wasn't supposed to take but 60 days. And somebody covered it up somewhere, but I got a report of it, in my medical files in the VA. And somehow somebody covered it up, and I never even knew about it till I got a copy of it 13 years later from the release of information. So you see, there's a lot of stuff going on that, you know, they don't want you to know, or they do to you. And, but yet I'm with the Florida Brain Injury Association. I'm going to support groups, live support groups on the outside. And through them, I learned the medications that they were giving me at the VA. They were giving me brain injury medications. And on top of that, PTSD medications. And I was on like 27 different medications a day. I was in not in a good frame of mind, and then they were writing all kinds of junk about me. And to me, that was abuse. But you know what? I said, God bless them, and I'm learning to get rid of all that junk and do the best I can with what I have now. And then find out that I had a moderate brain injury, not a mild one. I mean, you split a flight helmet in half.
Well, I could tell when you crash a helicopter. I don't even see how it could be mild or moderate. That sounds pretty dang severe to me.
Yes, and then to have body trauma too, you know, and then they said I was going off on my supervisors, and I was the people I work around in the maintenance. They said they were all afraid of me, even though they were annoying the hell out of me and agitating me. But still, you know, they said they were all afraid to work around me. But you know what? I guess the monster came out, but. What can I say? It had not been my fault. But I, what can I do? It was not, it's what happened to me, not what I was. It was what happened to me. Because I was holding a 3.8 average across the board of how I was in the military. And then after the crash, I dropped down to a 2.0. So something happened. And they were trying to claim
it. You know, in the medical community, they're just not hip to that. They don't seem to realize.
Well, they were trying to claim it as personal problems. How can I have personal problems if I was doing so great right before the crash, you know?
I was going to say, it's amazing how many of us wind up in the shrink boneyard when we were fine before, and then an incident happens like that that's so traumatic, and they won't validate that and say it's a mental problem. Well, you know, on one point, they're a little right, because after that trauma, you know, facing your mortality and the trauma to your body and your psyche, of course, you know, you're going to have some issues, but it's just, it starts out an organic problem, not a mental problem, but because they're not equipped to cope with the reality of the situation, after they pelt you with pills, like you say, for brain injury that don't help and give you side effects. Then, you know, they toddle you off to the shrink, you know, and so I am just so grateful, and so it's just so beautiful to hear you tonight, and all the progress you've made, what a long ways you've come.
Yeah, to have people that are there to show you that you're going to be all right, no matter what you've been through, and to accept the fact that you've been through it. This is what really happened, and I'm grateful that you made it. And they accepted the fact and showed you that you went through this and you made it, but you still went through it. And people were just trashing you and not even helping you. One doctor told me that, I wasn't good enough for the trauma group in her PTSD class.
Oh, my God.
And then the doctor that did the military sexual trauma said I was supposed to say no. I was in La La Land, you know. And then I told her, well, is that Nancy Reagan slogan, just to say no? Well, you should have been with me when I was supposed to say no. You could have said no for me. You know, that's to show you how insane some of these people are that work there. But, you know, God bless them. That's all I can say to them. because their time will come, because I'm not judging them, because if I judge them, then it's going to be my problem.
Right.
They go to sleep at night
just fine, don't they? And it's us
acid
stomach and the headaches. They don't give us a second thought.
Oh, not at all. But, you know, I've learned by not doing that, I can reduce my acid stomach. And
yes.
Let them go. Let them go, because they have their time. Their 15 minutes of glory will come, too, in their own time. And
That's absolutely right.
Look for my paradise. And by helping others, I found my paradise. Find someone that I can lift and help and bring forward also.
Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight. God bless you. I'm just so happy having known you now for a couple of years, and how miserable I felt so bad for you in the beginning. And this is so gratifying to know getting up and moving forward.
That's the other important message. I was chasing my tail.
I was chasing
my tail with all the misinformation and not even knowing. And these are people that went to school and got degrees and can't even help you figure things out, but they'll pill you to death.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Just,
that's where the big bucks are.
Disorientate you and rather than help you. But that's how it is.
Yep. That's how it is.
Moving forward and helping others.
Well, I hope that you will call back when your lady comes and you get moved, and you are good about keeping in touch with me. I told her, I said,
with time, maybe we can both do a show.
I would love that.
I said, you know, because she's very, very good, and I told her, with time, I hope maybe we can, because there's no one down in this area that does one, maybe we can get together. And she said, that sounds like a good idea. And I said,
it
sounds good to me.
Hey, Stephen, somebody wrote me in the chat room, and they wanted to say something to you. And so you know Les Paul. I'm going to let him. He said he would like to speak with you if he can.
Sure.
Les Paul, you're on the line with Stephen.
Hey, Stephen, how are you doing?
I missed
the first 15 minutes, but, you know, hearing the kindness in your soul, I can hear it, and the care that you have about your, not just your recovery, but other people, it really got to me thinking, you know, if everybody just thought like he's talking, the world would be so much a better place. It really would.
Oh,
I just had to say that to you. And thank you so much for sharing what you've said tonight. It's really got to me good, because I've had a lot of problems today. I didn't get home till after the show started, and I left early today. And it seemed like one thing after another seemed to be harder and harder and harder and harder. I even had a person that's going to be a guest on my show. I was supposed to call around 7 o'clock, and I never got home to call them, and they didn't answer.
It's hard if we keep beating ourselves with the same thing and not know what to do. But if we're on a path that we can handle and it's for the good, in the right process, then we're doing fine. I found that by helping others is the key for me, because I'm helping myself also.
It turns out to be the medicine you needed, doesn't it?
Yes. And
when I heard you talking about that, that's why I wanted to come on, because I don't think how a lot of people understand when you start helping other people, you'll start forgetting about your problems.
Right.
If you really, really care about that person you're working with. And suddenly, man, my headaches would get weaker when I would see people that I know that are really going through horrible pain, even worse than mine. And I said, you know what? I can handle this. I can handle it even if I was hurting bad sometimes.
You can guide them to better situations, better places. Make them feel better about themselves. Get them going rather than see them in the dumps feeling bad. You know, anything that would better them, because you've been there, you know. And, you know, just doing that, and it makes a world of difference. And then I feel better.
Yeah.
And it energizes you to feel better.
It'll help your own mental health, your own
yes.
emotional status. It really
yes.
does. And that's why I wanted to come on and just thank you so much for
You're
just
welcome.
I can hear it in your voice when I heard you speaking with Kim. And even though you've been through a lot of problems yourself and had really hard times, look at you. I'm proud to know you. And I didn't even mean to interrupt, but I just had to say that to you.
Oh, not at all. You're welcome. You're welcome. Because it's the only way that I found that's helpful is by helping others.
Yeah,
and that's,
I agree
that's
with
the key for me, the key of hope, and reaching out and helping them, because sometimes just by showing them, it actually turns them to see the difference, and that does it.
I feel the same way about Kim. I'll use her for example. Some days she has come on so exhausted,
yeah.
and I have two different times, and I mean, we kind of pull off of each other to kind of help one another along at times. There's been times like, man, am I going to make it through the show? And I see Kim sitting, and I hit the panic button and say, I got strangled the last time, and I couldn't quit coughing during my show.
Well, that's kind of it right there, supporting each other.
Yeah.
And then each other not giving up.
That's right.
By not giving up, there's a sunshine at the other end.
That's
a brighter
true.
Day.
That's right. That's right. Well, with that, I've got something for you, Stephen. I don't know if the audience or the others are on the computer, but if any of you are on the computer out there tonight and you go to YouTube, and you guys can write this down if you're not on the computer, to go to YouTube after this, because you'll get to see the video that goes with the song I'm going to play in a minute. But if you're out there and you get to to YouTube, you can search three words up at the top. And the first one is Chris, C-H-R-I-S,
mm-hmm.
space, Dukes, D-U-K-E-S. And the third word is Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, Chris Dukes Heroes. And I'm going to park you guys for just a minute, and in honor of all of our veterans, but particularly Stephen tonight, I'm going to play this for him tonight. I think I'm going to play it for him tonight. I'll give you guys a minute to get there, but I think you'll really like the video that goes with the song, but this is very apt. Stephen was hurt in the line of duty and got his TBI, and what a world of difference in the 2 years since we first met, when, as he said, he was chasing his tail down in the dumps in a really bad place. And as we can hear tonight, it's taken some time, but wow. All the service work, the sense of purpose, the being off of all of the drugs, doing the yoga, getting himself, you know, back in shape mentally, spiritually, physically, and falling in love is a bonus that I think he deserves, again, with the rest of our veterans, to hear Heroes. This is Heroes by Chris Dukes.
The young man holds a picture, his life within his hands, a wife and children far from Afghanistan. On lonely nighttime watch, he silence keeps hold. It's been crazy here, and he's been missing home. Their freedom's worth the fight, and a fight is what's in store. With lips upon that picture, he prepares to fight some more. That's a hero, my hero.
Chris Dukes and Heroes. And if you didn't see the video, make sure to check out YouTube, search Chris Dukes Heroes, and you'll see an awesome video to go with an awesome song. You can also check Chris out at his website, www.chrisdukesband.com, or if you're on Facebook, /Chris Dukes Band, and it is awesome. Want to thank all of our many heroes, not only our veterans and equally their families for all the sacrifices that they have to make, but all of our heroes around here at Brain Injury Radio and those who continue. He talks in the song about being a model role, and this song was dedicated particularly to Stephen tonight because he couldn't have exemplified a better model role of someone who has been through hell and back and is seeing the gratification of not quitting before the miracle happens, keeping that faith and hope going. Got a lot of people on the board tonight, but I've got a surprise guest, I think, that I'm going to bring on, and then I'll bring you boys back in just a little bit. But I think this may be my cousin in California, and she's also had a brain injury that we probably won't talk about tonight unless she wants to, but she got some really happy news today, and I saw her email. As I said, I got home about a half hour before the show started tonight. It wasn't booked, didn't think I was going to do it, was going to put up a tape. Fast as a bunny, I just put something up real quick. I don't even know what I put on that page, for God's sake, that I posted in only like two places. So thank you for those that showed up tonight. I really thought I'd just be pitching to an empty room, and that's why I just booked the show for 2 hours rather than three. But let's see if area code 661 is Jenny.
Yes, it is, Kim. Hi.
Hello, Jenny. Folks, this is my cousin Jenny in California, and Tell us about the good news you got today.
I am going to become a grandmother.
Yay!
And I am so delighted. I cannot, every time I think about it, I just well up with tears. It's an amazing, growing up in the era that you and I did, Kim and I are just a few months apart. I believe it's 18 months. We grew up in an era when women were first really joining the workforce. Equal pay for equal work is what we fought for.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched many of my fellow workers go on, move up into management. And unfortunately, 1957 stuck with me. All I wanted to be was a mom and someday a grandmother. And I lost four babies and then had my own miracle child. And I watched her grow up, and I would tell her, someday when you go to college, never if, never was an option. It was always posted in a positive way, when you go to college. And she did. She went to USC. She graduated with her degree, went on to teaching, decided to go back and get her master's, and was always looking for that perfect guy. Not perfect as in he had to make a lot of money or be good looking or have the pristine job, but perfect for her. And she found him. And I love this man as though he was my own child. And as Kim had alluded to, I had a traumatic brain injury nearly 30 years ago. And I always wondered why I survived. I would look at my child and I know I survived for her, but I always wondered why. You do. And she married this man, and everyone around me was crying, and I was serene. I was so at peace. The most wonderful, peaceful feeling came over me that I knew in essence I could pass on the torch to him, that when it was my time to go, that she would be safe and being taken care of. That battle that I had fought for 30 years to be there for her and to try and make up for the trauma that she had gone through, I now had someone else, and my husband, to fight that battle with me and for me when I pass on. But today, when they handed me the gift, and there was a little T-shirt that says, I love Grandma, and then in a frame, an invitation to join them to see the baby's birth sonogram, I sobbed. And she looked at me and she says, Mama, you're crying. And I said, honey, I never cry tears for when I'm upset. I learned that a long time ago. It does no good. But I saved my tears for happy. And I cried and I cried. And we'd sit there and then I'd just start bawling again. And I now see her. And this is the rest of my answer is to when I laid there in that hospital that night, why I survived. And I have my 1957 dream. I'm a mom, and now I'm going to be a grandma. There are some difficulties that lie ahead in this. For me, not for her, thank goodness, but I can't think of a better way to have spent a pre-Mother's Day, and I am just walking on air.
Oh, congratulations. That is so awesome. I'm so happy to hear it, and I can't believe that it got accomplished so quick. I know she had, you know, had some difficulties earlier on, you know, years back, and I was afraid that it might be something that was going to be a problem to achieve. And when I saw that picture, I did open my mail from you just before I was putting that show on, and I saw the pictures, and I just about burst into tears. I'm so exhausted and strung out, and I thought I couldn't leave the show blank, but I saw the picture, and it is really darling. Her daughter, Dana, is beaming, and then the other picture is a little onesie, I love Grandma, that Dana's holding up in front of her still skinny little belly, and with her mom, Jenny, here on the line with us. And you're right, for a pre-Mother's Day gift. Wow, totally awesome. What timing. And so you're going to have a New Year's baby.
Yep, We will. I was teasing my son-in-law that Daddy's little tax deduction will be for have to be for 2015, but that was okay. And it's just life is good. When I was listening to Stephen talk, and then again Les, it reminded me so much of their problems. That we all have our own unique problems, and they're so hard some days. They're just absolutely incredibly hard. As Kim knows, I've been on a search for a few years now to find out why I have a body that can make Miley Cyrus look like she's an amateur at twerking, except I'm not doing it on purpose. Mm-hmm. And at my age, it's not attractive either. But this now is even sort of whet my appetite more to find out what is going on with me, why it's happening. And my mantra to all the doctors from USC to UCLA to the Mayo Clinic has been, I need to know what is going on. I need to have a reason why this is happening. And I need to be able to play with my grandchildren when they're born.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I've got about 7 months for them to get their act together and to truly come up with some answers for me, and or for me to have the peace in my heart to accept that, okay, as it stands right now, I won't be able to pick up my grandchildren and hold them and play with them. We'll work around that. We'll figure out a way that I will sit down and someone will hold me the baby, and then I'll rock and do whatever grandmas do, and you know, then I'll have to put them down, and I'll have a 2-year-old toddler with me in the grocery store that'll learn how to crawl into a shopping cart, you know, really fast.
Yeah.
There will be adaptations, but today all I can see is in the good in life, which is what I always try and struggle to do. Kim's grandmother and my mother share the same birthday. And it was touching to see my aunt celebrate her 94th, and yet it was hard to think of my mother wasn't here to celebrate her 92nd. And
yeah.
That is sort of the epitome of life. We take the sweet with the bitter. And we make up our mind whether or not we allow them, which one we allow to override. And there are days when the bitter is at the top of the list. And there are other days of sweetness, and there's some days where they battle it out. One of the things that you said to Stephen struck me so, and that was how oftentimes when we have these injuries, people, the doctors, be they just regular MDs, neurologists, let's see, who do I see, a rheumatologist, a neurologist, a neurosurgeon, a regular doctor, a partridge in a pear tree, and a psychologist. And ironically, psychologist is the one for the last 5 years that has been telling me, you are not nuts. This is organic in cause. While everybody else was just patting me on the head and telling me, oh, it was anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Such
a common dynamic in this community. It's just pathetically gag me sickening how that is the norm in this community.
I found very much it is. And then when you throw into it a menopausal woman, boy, they mean it's like they wring their hands in delight. Oh,
that's
boy,
hell on wheels.
we can really tell her now. I take somewhat of an evil delight when my body will act up in front of them. And I've just learned to be somewhat flippantly, kindly defiant to them. I recently took in a letter. I have a wonderful chiropractor I see who helps me with the severe muscle spasms and the cramping. And he is so kind, I can just drop into his office at any time he's open, and he'll squeeze me in to help release the muscle cramps. And he wrote a letter for me to my doctors, an open letter, which I handed to the orthopedist, explained to him that I was having spontaneous muscle growth and muscle spasms and what they call fasciculations. And he grabbed that paper and he read it and he waved it at me all excited. He goes, do you know how wonderful this is? He goes, you've got a doctor who backs up what you say. And I just looked at him and I deadpanned, yeah, because I've been lying like an ass for 5 years. And he kind of stood back and looked at me and he said, I deserved that, didn't I? And I said, in spades, you really did.
Yeah.
And it was funny that once I had this little piece of paper with someone that has doctor in front of them, and I adore this man. I have known him for 20 years. That suddenly my concerns, my complaints, my whatever you want to call my body doing was validated.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it breaks my heart when I hear the people's stories, when I hear people who have gone through so much without any recognition, that some days just getting up and taking a shower and putting on my clothes is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that. Or when, for me, of all the most bizarre things, and thank goodness it doesn't happen too often in California, when we have storm clouds come in. The high, thin, white ones. I will just automatically, my body will begin to spasm, my head hurts, I get grumpy. I can't help it. It is what it is. I've been blessed by my husband and my daughter's support through this and some very good friends. And now I'll have a little one to call me Nana or something that'll be just the best, the absolute best. And it answers my question, why did I survive this? The joy of living with my husband, watching my daughter grow up and marry, and now watching life come full circle.
I think so, too. I think so, too, because, you know, Dana was just a little girl when her mom and her mom got her brain injury, and her dad was also affected, and so there had to be that cast, you know, over the household. Whenever you have trauma of any kind and any member of the family, it's going to affect all of the family. And so, you know, for her to grow up, it's been so gratifying to be to see her so happy and all the pictures. She's really living the life right now, you know, the happy life. And I'm glad that they've done all the traveling and all the things they're doing, because life's going to be a little different in 7 months, you know. But, you know, to see her happy and thriving, and I think you're right, you know, what you were talking about, you know, we all never know when our time is going to come. And happy Mother's Day, by the way, and to all the mothers out there. But it must be a very gratifying feeling to not only know that, you know, you had this child and felt, have been, you know, the one primarily feeling responsible even way after, you know, the little birds have left the nest. You know, moms always feel responsible. And, you know, like you said, watching her get married, be extremely happy, and the baby coming, she's coming into her own extended family of origin that's going to take her the rest of the way out. And you'll be around to enjoy all of that, but the peace you must feel, even in the midst of the chaos and the pain and the everything, you know, that you've been through, you know, for that to happen, I just think is wonderful and super congratulations. And, you know, I even felt, not any kind of comparison at all, but you know that we, well, two things. First of all, I remember Aunt Betty, your mom, and when I saw that picture, I got tears in my eyes. I remember meeting her in California. You know, remember when we came out there when
we
I was a kid? Yeah, we played in the ocean and we kept ditching that boy who was following us around. Remember, we left him sleeping. We told him we'd be back in a little while. We were naughty girls, my fault probably. Left, And just because we really didn't want to hang with this guy who was kind of clinging around, said we'd be back in a while, and we never came back. And the next morning, we came out to go to the beach, and we jumped over the beach wall, and this boy was still there, sleeping. He had waited, like, all night on the beach wall for us to come back. And we kind of counted to three, and he was still sleeping, and we jumped over him and ran as fast as we could, laughing, you know, up to the beach. But that was bittersweet to see the picture of Aunt Betty. And, you know, with Nana, we, in February, I swear, and you know that everybody in the family thought the day she went to the hospital back in February, and it would have been like their 65th anniversary had Grandpa died, and I'm a big believer in cosmic kind of things like that, and in the shape she was in, if you could have seen her, we were all positive that was it. And the fact that she made it and has really seemed to rally the last couple months and now, of course, is in a position where could be days, could be weeks. And I'm really fortunate. I've had the time, a lot of time, to spend with her in this last year. Our relationship has always been solid, but it's come back to where it should be, you know, at this point for us. And, you know, I was going to be so mad when we got past February and the rehab and she got back to her place and we were around my birthday, you know, in the middle of April. I thought the cruelest thing on earth for her to have beat that, you know, and to come this close to her own would be if she didn't make it to her own birthday at this point, because, you know, it was only a couple of weeks off. And so, you know, when we went in there for her little birthday party the other day, I was just filled with gratitude, you know, that she made it to her 94th birthday, and maybe that's what she was waiting for. I don't know, but you might have noticed in those pictures I posted that, and by the way, your flowers and card were beautiful, and I took a picture specifically for you, but you saw on the shelf that she's got pictures, Nana does, on her shelf, and there were pictures with balloons and things that, you know, said happy birthday. But ironically, next to these pictures was a picture of my grandpa, and so he was watching over her for her 94th birthday in picture, and I'm sure from heaven and in spirit, and he's who I saw when I had my near-death experience, nearly died from my brain aneurysm in 95, and I looked up and saw that picture, actually, when I went to take your pictures of your flowers, and I wanted it to be a happy occasion, so I choked back that momentary tear. And then, you know, you can change your attitude sometimes in a moment. I was grateful that he was able to be there that way and watch, because, you know, the way that he was faced in that picture was slightly off to the side, and I didn't change the frame or anything, but he was looking at where she was sitting as she was having her 94th birthday.
It's so funny you said that, because when I looked at the pictures, I went, Uncle Tony, he's smiling, he's there, he's witnessing this all. I firmly, firmly believe that he was there, and that she, I watched my mom struggle to make it through the holidays. I watched my father struggle so hard, her older brother, to make it to his 90th birthday. One of the things that the doctor recently asked me when I was turning colors and doing some very bizarre things in front of him last week, he asked me, he goes, how can you be so calm? Well, as you know, when I was at the Mayo Clinic, I insisted they do some cardiac testing, because if my muscles are misbehaving and doing all these weird things, how do I know that my heart isn't being damaged by this? And I got the lecture, smooth gut muscle, cardiac muscle, and skeletal muscle are three different types of muscles. And I looked him straight in the eye and I said, you can't tell me what the hell's wrong with me. How can I believe this? Well,
right.
It came out, as the cardiologist wrote down, heart is in remarkable shape for a woman of her age and size. I wanted to smack him one for that, but you know, I look at the longevity in the family, and immediately that's the first thing I thought today. Okay, I'm 57. Dad lived to 90. Auntie May's 94. Oh, wow, man, I've got a good 30-some years to spend with this baby. So I hate the pain. I hate the stigma of going out in public sometime with my braces. I just hate wearing them. But you know what? I'll let the baby, as it grows up, do what I used to let my students do. They decorated my neck brace one year for Mardi Gras. They put bows around it. They put strings on it. And everybody looked at me, and I said, yeah, like I don't already look like a circus freak wearing this. What the heck? Let the kids do it. No matter what I do or what I don't do, it's not going to change anything, just as whatever you do or don't do won't change your aneurysm, or God bless Steve and what happened to him isn't going to change. The only thing we can change is our attitude and how we view it. You know, is the glass half empty? Is it half full? Well, there's days it's half empty. There are days it's half full. I just try my damnedest to make sure there's more full days than empty days. And I know that what you do with this show and how it's helped you overcome things and how other people listening and calling in, I so believe life and what we make with it is a choice. And Stephen really brought up a really good topic in that, but how he helped himself by going out and helping others. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't know if you remember the challenge I made to all my friends at the beginning of the year. Challenge everybody to do one kind thing a day, and it doesn't have to be something monstrous. It could be something as simple as you're in the store and you see a child struggling to tie a shoe. Well, if you can do it, tie a shoe for him, or hold the door open for someone who is less fortunate than we are. Or even when someone is rude, bite your tongue rather than respond back with something.
Don't smack him across the parking lot.
God knows that's the one I struggle with the most.
You can tell we're in the same family, people. Sorry that we digress to our gene pool for just a moment.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I should be inducted in September to our Patriot.
Good.
So I thought today, I said, boy, if this one is a little girl, Nana's got it all set up for her.
Yes, exactly. That is so awesome. And what we're talking about, folks, you regulars who listen know that I'm a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution and had come in originally on a Patriot from my father's side and then set out to find one from my mother's side, because being an only child, I wasn't going to do it because I wasn't blessed to have children of my own, and I thought it's not going to make any difference to anybody. And then I thought, wow, don't be so selfish and stupid. It makes a difference to you, number one. And number two, you know, that history is going to be out there on Ancestry for people that I don't even know who are relatives in the future. And Jenny helped me with a couple of fine points that I was trying to find, and I wound up getting that second Patriot, which came off Nana's line. Nana and Jenny's dad were brother and sister, and now, you know, Jenny started being interested when I was posting pictures about naturalization and different things I was doing in DAR. And now that Patriot's proven, she's going to be able, is going to be inducted into DAR in California. So congratulations. That is really great. I'm so happy. And that'll make Nana happy too. That was another thing, is working so hard to get that done and her fading the way she was back in February. That was another thing I thought was really going to stink if I got that credential 2 days later or something. But, you know, it came in time. I got to share that with her and bring her mother's pins from another civic organization, and then bring mine that had a patriot from her line, and she spent her life doing a lot of genealogy the old-fashioned way, and so it was very gratifying for her to see that I had kind of picked up the interest that her mother had been so involved in, and the civic participation that her mom had been involved in, and that she had traced the family back a certain ways, and Jenny and I took it back the rest of the ways to find a hero from the Revolutionary War who fought in our family tree. So congratulations. I'm really happy to hear that, and that is going to be a true gift later on. You know, chances are, just like, well, you've always been more interested. It took me a while longer to get to that point, you know, and Dana might not be at this point. I know the boys aren't. I don't know if they'll ever be. But, you know, the point of the matter is that, you know, that information is out there now, and there'll be a time when family matters, you know, and unfortunately a lot of times it's when you start losing them, and when you get older and more mature and you take in how reality works in life, and then you get a curiosity, you know, about your lineage, and that is so awesome that we've been able to do that work and get it out there for your daughter, your granddaughter, grandson will also be able to be a member of Sons of the American Revolution, SAR, with that same information. All you'll have to do is, they're a lot easier to get into. Those boys sometimes don't work as hard as the girls do on many levels. No offense, boys out there, we love you. But, you know, really all you've got to do is show them that, and even like Wayne is, that's her brother, once you've got your national DAR number, you pretty much just have to produce that to SAR, and anyone in the family of our family that's a male could also join if they became interested at some point in time. So that is really cool. I'm happy to hear it, and I'll be really excited about hearing about what you're doing. And I know that you mentioned your group wasn't doing some of the stuff ours is, and so you and I being master controllers, I'll make sure to be sending our list of what we do, and you can get your group in gear.
Well, one of the things when Stephen was talking about ROTC, one of the programs that they do have in DAR but is not currently happening within our chapter is that they go to the high school and ask the students, to the seniors, to write essays on historical matters, and based on those, they will grant scholarships. And I've already volunteered to do that once the Patriot is approved and I get my pins, because having worked in the schools for 25 years, having taught language and math, and then worked administratively with the kids, I have no problem speaking in front of large groups, and I definitely don't have problem speaking in front of teenagers. So I'm really excited that when that happens, that I can take, again, how I choose to look at it. I had to leave my job because I could no longer perform it, but I can take what I learned from that job and apply it in something new, and I can apply it to Denver. One of the things that's been, you know, when you had Chris Duke's song playing, and I love that song from the very first time I heard you play it. To me, an analogy I used to use when I worked back in victims' rights was when a tragedy, be it man-induced such as mine was, or just a nature-induced, organic-induced incident such as yours, life is like, to me, a tragedy is a pebble thrown into a pond. The most grievous accounts or the hardest parts of the ripple is for the person that it occurs to. But nonetheless, it still ripples outwards. There's still reverberation all the way through.
Yes.
From yourself to your family, your loved ones, your friends, the community, whomever, as it ripples outward. Using that analogy, in doing the genealogy, and after my father passed, and in my grief, trying to document all his history through World War II, posting posts and getting things together, I've met through a post, a gentleman contacted me and said, was your father the same gentleman that Lieutenant served with my uncle? And I wrote him back within a nanosecond. I just happened to be on the computer when I got the email. Yes, your uncle did serve with my father. We were on the phone within 5 minutes, and within an hour, I was talking to the last surviving member of my father's B-17 crew. Within the last 2 years, Joe and I have adopted each other, and I am just in love with this little 92-year-old man, and we snail mail right back and forth to each other. He's invited me to come visit him. And his daughter, he hand-built his own home before his children were born, and I think about 1947. A few years later, bought a lot a block away, so if his children ever wanted to live near him, they would have a home. And so his daughter lives around the block from him, and I correspond back and forth with her, and with her gracious giving and sharing of her dad, she's, of course, said, you know, please do come visit Daddy. And it's amazing that when you choose to look beyond the horrific incident that put you where you are, so much of life falls together as a puzzle piece. Is the life I have the one I chose for myself 30 years ago? No. And nor is yours, and nor is Stephen's, or any of ours. Can it be as good of a life? Yes. I truly, truly believe that. Am I buoyed today by this? Oh, am I ever buoyed by this today? I was teasing my son-in-law that they just recently got me to go onto a smartphone. I am not the techie that Kim is. I was teasing them. I said, you know, when the baby comes to grandma's, there's not going to be toys that have batteries or plug in a wall or anything like that. And my son-in-law was gracious. He said, oh, of course, because I used to love to go to my grandparents and, you know, bake cookies and, you know, color. And I go, that's the things we'll do. That's how kind of grandmother I used to be. To where my daughter picked up a magazine and started pressing it and saying, Nana, your iPad sucks. It doesn't work.
Oh, my God.
Well, I said, that's fine. That's fine. They can have the iPad at home. But, you know, here, it'll be 1957 again. I want to give them a glimmer of what, you know, grandma's childhood was like. And, you know, the kind of things I did with your mom, your grandma and grandpa when I would come to visit, even though I was a young adult at the time, those type of things. And the wonderful memories I have of your grandpa and teasing him and him teasing me, the Susan B. Anthony dollars first came out.
Yes.
And he took me downtown and took me to a bank and got me a Susan B. Anthony dollar, which I thought was so cute because I was already in my very early 20s, and I thought it was adorable that he did that for me. And his fussing at the fifth car in line in traffic in downtown at 5 o'clock. Absolutely snickering, having grown up in Los Angeles. You know, the fifth car in line at a stop sign wasn't, I mean, that's a damn good day at midnight.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's that circle, and I'll leave you with something that will make you giggle and smile, and I hope brings a smile to somebody else's face. Kim's mom and dad, Kim is my second cousin. Her mom is actually my first cousin. And their great-grandchildren, Gigi Ma, Gigi Pa, well, when I shared the news with your parents, I thought I had messaged you. Now I know what happens that time when I thought I messaged you before. I forget to hit send when I'm real excited about something. Sent you a text to read your email. Thank God you read your email.
Yeah.
But, your mom, I called your mom and said, why didn't you call me or anything? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I told her, and she was so excited, and she told your dad, and he goes, oh, we're great-grandparents again. And your mother teased him. She goes, no. I said, yes, you are. I said,
yep.
I said, the people won't have great-grandparents, so you are them. You are them.
That's right.
You will be on Gigi Pop. So
they're Gigi's again.
Yeah, it's just wonderful to know that there's such a continuity with families, and not necessarily families don't have to be direct lineage. They can be the people that you've brought into your life and you love. But
yep.
It is so gratifying to know that, you know, life does continue. Life does go on. And I'm the happiest gal on earth tonight.
Well, Jenny, I'm going to dedicate a song to you. And area code 585, I've seen you waiting. I'm going to pick you up in just a minute, but like I saw Stephen out with the song because it really fit him tonight. I've got one that I'm going to see Jenny out with tonight that will really fit her tonight. And I'll go ahead and mute because I don't want to hear the tears come to her eyes. But this is for dedicated, again, just like I did with Stephen. This will go out for all of the mothers tonight, but I'm dedicating it to Jenny. And Jenny, thank you so much for calling in, and I'll congratulate Dana. You do that in the meantime. I'm so happy for you. And here's one for Jenny. Okay, what happened to it? And it's also, I'm going to have to say laughingly, Jenny, that this is also for Les Paul because he has the biggest crush on her ever. But here's one for the moms and for Cousin Jenny tonight.
For you, quietly hoping.
Sorry, everybody. That was Leah West with Guardian Angel. You can find her at www.leahwest.com. And yes, I talked about Operation Overload in my program notes earlier, and I'm really grateful to everybody who's called in tonight to help me out. And so I'm going to let area code 858 on, and thank you for your patience and waiting. You're on the air. Area code 585, sorry.
That's me, Kim. Frank.
Fantastic. Frank, say it at the same time. Come on, I was doing it with you.
I know. Kim, I didn't get on your show until about 10:30 or so, or something like that. But you are doing some great things here. And I just want to tell people that today when I talked to Marvelous Michelle let me know that every author in the traumatic brain injury book has a PR person to work with them. She just let me know about that one today. And so I'm trying to get the list of the people who have their stories in this book, because I plan on disseminating them to every host on the show. That means there's 6 or 7 of us, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's and the early platform host too, so you could make it even up to 15 or so.
Well, 15 people are going to get, I think, up to 15 goes into 100. How many times? That's 6 or 7 times, right? 7 times.
Yeah.
I hope to begin 7 different guests for everybody to be able to use and to promote, and that is what I'm trying to work on right now. And that tonight I had to send a letter out to Marvelous Michelle, who was going to condense this down to her personal, her PR person at the Chicken Soup for Soul book, and that she's going to request that I get the information. And I know that one of your guests has her story told. Her name is...
Yeah, Kathleen. You know, I met somebody else that's got their story in there today. I got to think of how, because my brain's really scrambled. But I remember writing it down on a piece of paper. It's another future guest of mine, and she got her story accepted into that book, too.
Well, thank you. This is great, because as I find out who these people are, if you already have 2 people who got that, that's great. But I'm trying to figure out who the other, of course, my story is in there. And there is a girl named Barbara Carrera, who I couldn't find online.
I've heard of that her before. I'll help you look for her. I've heard that name before.
It came up that she was an actress in a James Bond movie.
Oh, all right. That's why it sounds that way. Yeah. I know who you're talking about, even.
But there is supposedly is another girl named Barbara Carrera. And I don't think it's the same actress, because I've been looking for her on the web for days. And I can't find any reference to her having a traumatic brain injury. But there's at least, you've got 2, I've got 1, that's 3. And there
but
is a fourth one that's named Barbara Carrera.
Yeah. Why aren't you just waiting until the book comes out? Nobody else is going to take those leads from you
No, I'm trying to promote this book, so what this book is going to be, it's on pre-sale right now on Amazon.com. And
right.
The sale date is going to be June the 24th, which means I've already asked Craig if I could take over his show on the 23rd. And on the 23rd, I want to have I want to see if we could have worked through at least 50 or 60 of these other people, and I want to culminate that show with interviewing Lee Woodruff, who wrote the introduction to this book. And her husband is Bob Woodruff, a guy who got blown up in Afghanistan. I'd say blown up. He got his head injury over in Afghanistan. And so that is just one of the things that I've been working on. And I've got some other ideas about how this can be used, because you know that I've appeared on TV across the country, right? You know about that.
Yes.
Well, today, Michelle has got me booked on two local Rochester stations by simply calling them up and saying two or three words. She said to them, "Hi, my name is Michelle Camacho. I'm the author of a story about a guy named Fantastic Frank who has appeared in the, and we are, and his story is going to be in the Traumatic Brain Injury book." And bam, she got us booked. That's very quickly how that happened that way.
I guess.
And then I was on WXXI station. This happened, I think this was about a week ago, before she started promoting this. And the woman also wanted, when she found out I was going to be in this book, that's one of the reasons that she booked us there very quickly. Because this is a timely, it's a local hook and stuff like that. And so I'm telling Michelle, we have a lot of things that we can do to get out. Not, it's not about us. It's about helping everybody who has a traumatic brain injury get exposure to what I'm trying to do. And you don't know how many people out there. Now, if you figure there's over 101 stories, there's 101 people in this book, and you know two of them, I know one, and there's that fourth woman, Barbara Carrera. That's four people. How many others are out there that don't even know about Blog Talk Radio Show? Because obviously, the person who runs this Edsys book doesn't know about them. Otherwise, they'd be calling us up, telling us that they want to be promoting that. And no one has heard about this, except I'm the one who kind of found out about this last November or December, or I think it was in October when I found out about that, and I've been telling people about that, but there hasn't really been people who have called me up saying, "Hey, I've got my story on there." So that means that there could be millions of more people out there we could reach through a Blog Talk Radio Show. And that's a great thing.
Well, we'll sure try that. Frank, if there's listeners out there who know, you know, anybody, because there's a lot of people out there who listen who are in different brain injury support groups on Facebook and LinkedIn, you know, in various places like that.
Yes.
And if you know anybody, get a hold of me or Fantastic Frank, and let's see if we can get a list of some of those people together. And congratulations, Frank, about having a story in there about you. That's really wonderful, and it'll be good that the book, hopefully it'll take off and it will educate people on brain injury. I think that's just a wonderful thing. My only complaint is that I wish you would donate a portion of the fees to the unpaid
now,
writers toward the charity.
Jack Canfield doesn't own the rights to the book anymore. He sold that.
He gets royalties, though.
Well, I don't know what he gets for doing that, but I'm pretty sure he does. And that is one of the issues I'm going to have to take up with, if I can get Amy Newmark on the show. She's the editor of this book. I want to ask her how much, if through my efforts I'm able to sell, say, 100,000 copies of that book, or even 10,000 copies, you'd think that they have to donate some of the money to these brain injury groups.
I hope they do. And, you know, if you put in that much effort on your own, imagine how many books that you'd sell. Frank, I don't want to cut you off, but I only booked the show tonight for 2 hours, and I don't know if we have the ability to go in overtime anymore. I know we don't when we book our regular show for 3 hours and try to do four like we used to. I only booked it for 2 hours tonight, so it may allow me to go into overtime, not overtime, but the extra hour. I don't know if you've noticed, you're probably not up that late, but we've automatically got tapes that kick off right at the end of that third hour. They just automatically start, and that starts, and that's what cuts us off. And I'm not sure if it's triggered by the third hour, so I may well be in my last 10 minutes. So what I'm going to do is park you for a moment, or if you've said what you have to say, either way. That's just great, absolutely great, and congratulations to Fantastic Frank, our Thursday host, for being included in Chicken Soup for the Brain Injury Survivor Soul. They're currently in pre-sale on Amazon, and the book will be coming out. If you know anybody who happened to get their story included in that book, we're trying to get the names of those people ahead of the book coming out and get them to help spread the word about Brain Injury Radio and brain injury to all of the people they encounter. So please do that. And I'm so glad Frank called in tonight to let us all know about it. So here's the deal, folks. Our show is usually on 3 hours. I had been mortally exhausted, crawling on my face at 0 hour to sign up some kind of a show tonight. And so this may well be our last 10 minutes. I might go ahead and try to play music and see if there's any other callers, or let some of the others back on for more time, and go ahead and carry this out to the 3 hours that it normally is. But I apologize if we get cut off. I really thought I was going to be out of energy, and frankly, when I put the mic down, I probably will fall on my face and fall asleep. However, I'm awake at this point, and we're on air, so I might try it. But I'm going to take a minute, since we're 2 hours into it, to thank Brain Injury Radio's host, TBI Survivor Network, and for sponsoring Brain Injury Radio, and want to thank Lash Publishing for sponsoring Recovery Now on Wednesday nights. We appreciate those people who sponsor shows. And anyway, if I do stay on, it won't be for much longer. I don't think I'll probably make it through that third hour, but we might play a song or two just to wind everybody down for the night and see, you know, see how everybody's feeling, if there's any other call-ins. Otherwise, we'll just see what happens. And like I said, even if I just play a few songs for a while, we can all just kind of chill out. But I think, again, this is Kim Justice, your regular Wednesday Hump Night host. I've got a couple good guests booked, geez, for like the next month and a half, and very interesting, controversial shows the next 2 weeks. And they both happen to be named Rick, which is a small world. The one this Wednesday, if he gets me, I was looking for, is somebody, a veteran, who we've had other veterans on talk about how, and non-veterans actually, talk about how the SSRIs and drugs that are pelted at them have been causing a pretty high suicide rate and haven't seemed to help what ails people. And so we've had a few guests on who have done alternative treatments, and this particular veteran is not an addict or a head. He's a stand-up guy in a suit, conducts himself, at least in our conversations, professionally, but believes in cannabis for treating brain injury. And then the following week, I have another different Rick on who happens to be in a group that originated as a 12-step program where their take on how to most effectively treat people with brain injury is quite a bit different. It's without substance. And so it ought to be interesting back-to-back shows with completely different points of view. And again, Brain Injury Radio doesn't sanction anything that's illegal, and we're not necessarily promoting or sponsoring, but we are giving a voice to survivors, and so this will be a cool show. The one fella has a Facebook page out there that's TBI survivors with addictive disorders. And so if anybody is interested in that, write to me. I don't happen to have that group, that Facebook group right in front of me, but it'll be good to hear from both Ricks over the next couple weeks. And then Thomas Hartman is going to be on the following week. And I think the week after that might be Catherine LeBlanc, so we'll see. You can see those in upcoming shows. I was kind of trying to talk down the time to see what the clock does here, if it lets me keep going or not. And so now we're getting closer to a time I can play a song, and I think I've taken care. Oh, no, I haven't taken care of all the housekeeping. I wanted to read you guys a message that I got again last minute as I was fly into the show I didn't know I was doing, but Lori Purdy, Fatal, Wednesday night host twice a week in the earlier platform right before my show, sent me an email and asked me if I'd posted on LinkedIn and some of the groups that I go to, and what the heck, one of the groups I go to is Brain Injury Radio, so we can broadcast this around the world. Lori's note says, "Hi, I would like to ask a favor. We're LinkedIn friends because we have similar interests. You should know by now that I am an advocate, professional, friend, and survivor of the brain injured. The favor. I would like to ask that you pass the following information to your connections, put this in newsletters, or send an email to everyone you know." So this would apply to all of you listening out there. Okay. Concussion, contusion, axonal injury, closed head injury, traumatic brain injury, acquired brain injury, anoxia, hypoxia, dementia, tumor, stroke, aneurysm, amnesia, Parkinson's disease, brain cancer. A survivor support line is now available to provide telephone support to those who suffer from all levels of brain impairment. The number 4PEER, P-E-E-R, 1-1, is a survivor-run, funded, operated, and managed emotional helpline. We do not give medical advice, but we do have compassionate ears. We all have survived some form of brain injury or are a survivor who is significant in the life of another survivor. In other words, I think she means a caregiver. The number to call is 855-473-3711. And in short, that would be 855, the number 4, PEER, P-E-E-R, 1-1. Live operators are available from 9 to 9 Pacific time. If a call comes when an operator is not free, please leave a message, and the messages are returned on a regular basis. Again, call 855-473-3711. 3711. So thank you so much, Lori, for letting our audience know about that. And those of you who are in groups out there, please promote that message as well. We want to help as many people as we can. Okay, we've just got a couple of minutes to do a little test here, so I'm going to try to pick a shorter song and see what I can do. Oh, God, I just can't find anything here. Okay, how about this one? This is something we've all felt like from time to time, and this is one of our own locals here in Middle America, Daniel Christian, and this is his song, Dandelion.
I am a dandelion, unwelcome in this field. A blemish on the landscape, not easily concealed. Dandelion, and I can only stand until I meet the tiller's wheel. I am a dandelion, planted in the dirt. And gardeners are known to burn the greens of little words. Dandelion, a nuisance ever soiled by the curse within the earth. Each of us has felt unwanted, drifting like a solitary seed. There are those who would pollute us, poison and uproot us, but to someone we are beautiful indeed. I am a dandelion, but not the weed you're thinking of. 'Cause I look like a flower when you see me from above. Dandelion, reaching up to heaven, following the sun. I look like a flower when you see me from above.
That was Dandelion with Daniel Christian, and you want to be able to check him out. Daniel Christian is just great, and if we're able to go on, I might play another song or two. It looks like our scheduled show of 2 hours has run out of time, so I don't know if you guys are all going to get dropped off in a minute or not. That's what's been happening when we run it the full time and try to do this, but again, that was Daniel Christian. If you're on Facebook.com/ Daniel Christian Music or his website, DanielChristianMusic.com. That was Dandelion. And I think we've all felt like one of those, the weed in the field of flowers. Man, that's a tough feeling. But we did find out that it's about perspective, too, because one person's weed is another person's flower. For example, the dandelion. That's one of them. The two people I saw in the chat room looked like they got kicked out, so it looks like it's doing the normal thing, which is kicking out the chat. So it sounds like only the people on the board would be able to continue. And I'm not sure about people in public who aren't on the board. So I think I'm going to do tonight again because I'm dead on my feet and very apologetic. But again, I'm not the regular Saturday night host, but I really wanted to be here for those of you who wanted to be here tonight. God bless Stephen for coming on, and that was the price, worth the ticket price, because he has come such a long way, and I could feel his joy tonight and progress. And he's a fellow survivor and veteran worth opening the door for that. Always love to have Les Paul come. It was fantastic to hear my second cousin from California, who is also a brain injury survivor, to hear her blessed news for today and about becoming a grandma. And of course, fantastic Frank, absolutely fantastic to hear from him and congratulate him about his inclusion in the soon-to-be-released Chicken Soup for the Brain Injury Survivor's Soul. So I want to thank everybody so much who supports Brain Injury Radio and all of us hosts. We really appreciate it. As Stephen said, we've got to give it away to be able to keep it ourselves. And we hope that we're benefiting you out listening as much as you're benefiting us by helping give us a sense of purpose. We really appreciate that so much. So I want to, again, wish the mothers happy Mother's Day. And say God bless to all the rest of you out there. Tomorrow, I think you've got Quantum Leap and, of course, the regular Matt Duffin show. And I understand he has a good guest tomorrow night. So I'm going to close with another Daniel Christian song. Dandelion is a fun one that gets us a little thought-provoked, but this was my favorite song of Daniel Christian's, also something we can all relate to, and a great way to close the show as we think about where we want to go as we move forward. And each of us is going to find our voice. Frank was just talking about that. Les Paul talks about it. And obviously, I just talk a lot. But in any case, I'm going to leave you with this thought. Many blessings. Have a great rest of the weekend. And as Daniel Christian says, find your voice. Good night, everybody.
The question never seems to change. Are you with them or are you with us? And if it's true, I am not ashamed. There shouldn't be much to discuss. But for every answer that draws you near, there is an answer that will make you run. As long as identity remains unclear, the coward will give the easy one. We can be automatic, carefully diplomatic. I need courage to speak my choice. Now that it's been a while since my courtyard denial, I am still trying to find my voice. I am still trying to find my voice. My brother is waiting to believe. We all love him just the same. There are gifts we both receive under the same sun and rain. I can't speak out of stillness, but I'm waiting to fill this space with courage to make my choice. How can we preach salvation from our own isolation? I am trying to find my voice. I am just trying to find my voice. Inauguration day. Maybe the answers that I see
finally getting used to my own skin. Never knew I would come this far. When you get too good at fitting in, it's hard to tell who you really are.